The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 AM or 97.5 on the FM dial, and you can also live stream us at kfar.com. This is Problem Corner, and I'm your guest host, Joan Skillbred, filling in for Dave Pruse, who is out taking care of other mayoral business, I'm guessing. If you would like to call in, you can do so by dialing 458-TALK or 458-8255, and we will try to get to your call. And I want to give a special thank you to Mike Prox, who happened into the booth, and he's going to run the board for us. So this is really a special treat. And thank you, Mike. And today is Wednesday, and that means the topic will be historical. And I am so pleased to have the lovely Francine Mears, who is a lifelong Fairbanksan, in the studio today to share some of her recollections of growing up in Fairbanks during the 1940s and the 1950s. Good morning, Francine.
Good morning, Joni. Good morning, Mike.
So I asked you to come in and do this, and Francine's a little nervous, but she's going to be just fine, because I've always enjoyed every time I ask you a question about Fairbanks. What you have to say is just like in full color. I just love hearing what you have to say, and I thought that, you know, of all the people I know to describe Fairbanks during these older times, you're one of the better ones, you know.
Well,
that I
we'll
know.
We'll see, Joni.
Now you were born here.
Yes, I was born in 1938 at St. Joseph's Hospital on the river.
In the bank?
no, in the hospital, and I was left in the hospital, or at the hospital, for almost 3 weeks because my sister, my only sibling, Mariana, contracted measles.
Oh, no.
And I had to stay there. And we lived on Dunkel Street. And my mother had to walk over the bridge 3 times a day for the feeding.
Oh, my goodness.
And Elizabeth Busby took care of Marianne. So I was sort of an orphan, you could say, for about 3 weeks. And my dear friend, Sylvia Olson Bullion, was born 5 days before I was.
I know Sylvia.
Oh, yes. And her mother always said, she said, "Francie, you were the loudest, noisiest baby." And I'm sure she was right, yes. Well, you asked me the other day, Joni, about growing up in Fairbanks.
Yes.
And I thought I'm going to start with my first memory. Now, you know, as Queen Elizabeth II said, recollections may vary. But this was so kind of ingrained in me, and I don't know if it was because my parents always talked about it or my sister, but this was December 7th, 1941.
Which was a famous day.
Well, the day before, my father had packed down the snow in the front yard. Most of the dads did that. And then you would call the fire department, and they would come over and flood your front yard, so everyone had their own little ice skating rink.
Oh, we don't get that anymore.
No, we certainly don't. But that day, it was 25 below, and my sister told me that several times. It was 25 below, and that night it turned down to 38 or 40. Well, I was out there on the ice with my father, and he had just placed these double blade skates on my feet. And he was, you know, sort of showing me how to skate. And all of a sudden, the porch door opened, and my mother said, Frank, the Japanese have bombed Pearl Harbor. And my dad said, oh, my God. And I just was sort of left on the ice, and he ran in the house, and it was cold. And I don't know how long I sat out there. It was probably just 10 minutes. It seemed like an hour, but he did come out and get me. And I just remember that. And then the next day, the nightly blackouts began, you know, and Julian Hurley lived in our neighborhood. And it was a wonderful neighborhood. The Burnetts, the Nordales, the Bartletts, Mary Bajanich, the Levesques, the Aarons, you know, people that became...
That's a who's who of this side of Fairbanks.
Yeah, that was the east side. Now, the west side, our dear friends were the Stocks, the Baumeisters, the Nigros, you know, the Olsons, and... But back to, I'm digressing here, I know. Julian Hurley was the warden, where he would make sure that everyone's blinds were blacked out. Mm-hmm. Well, frequently he would knock on the door, and my father would let him in, because it was cold that December and into January. And he would say, Frank, may I have a little schnapps? My dad would pour him a little glass of schnapps, and he would drink it and then go on his way. And Mr. Hurley was a lawyer, and he and his wife, they had a beautiful garden. Again, I digress. Okay, well, my father was working at Ladd Field at that time, and it was still under construction. You know, we're talking 41. But it was interesting that the Department of the Army had the foresight as early as 1938-39 to realize that Fairbanks was going to be a very important place for aviation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those who realized that there was a coming war, you know. And so the Lend-Lease program started. And that existed between 42 and 45. But in 41, Ladd Field was still under construction. And of course, my father worked there. And I remember him taking me out there. And I was so, the planes to me seemed so big. And the ones that would fly in that had the white star, which of course was the U.S., logo, the star, mm-hmm. Someone would have to go out and paint red over it, the red star.
Yes. Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
During Mary Peltola's first month in Congress, she followed in the path of the congressman for all Alaska, Don Young. Working with Republicans and Democrats, she already pushed through legislation to help veterans with food and grocery bills. An effective bipartisan leader, Congresswoman Mary Peltola kept Don Young's chief of staff as her own as she continues his work developing our natural resources, creating jobs, lowering prices, and supporting veterans. And Congresswoman Peltola joined Senators Dan Sullivan and Lisa Murkowski to push the federal government to allow construction on the Willow Project this winter. Mary Peltola is building on Don Young's work on Magnuson-Stevens critical fisheries legislation that they worked on together before he passed away. At his request, Mary testified as an expert witness in Don Young's committee on this bill. Now she is championing it as Alaska's member of Congress. Fish, freedom, family. That's Mary Peltola, a new leader for all of Alaska.
I'm Mary Peltola. I'm running for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for and authorized by Mary Peltola for Congress.
Wine glasses never fall over until you get a brand new rug.
Oh no!
Ketchup bottles act normal till you're wearing a new shirt.
Ugh, you kidding me?
And rocks lie peacefully on the road till the day you get a brand new windshield. Then they fly up off the road and attack without mercy. That's why new windshields from Glass Doctor come with our windshield protection plan. Unlimited repairs and one replacement for 12 months. Don't just fix it, protect it. Glass Doctor. A neighborly company.
The Go Winter Expo, this weekend at the Carlson Center. The days are shorter, the weather's colder, and the snow, well, you know. The Go Winter Expo shows you how to beat that cabin fever. No matter what you love doing, we have something to heat up your winter fun factor. Check out the newest snow machines, put together a fitness plan, all that and more, plus the Interior Alaska Gun Show. We have something for everyone. This weekend at the Carlson Center, the Go Winter Expo. Info at FairbanksEvents.com. Brought to you by Camper Valley RV and Napa Auto Care Group.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
A dense fog advisory continues until 4 p.m. this afternoon. 37 today under overcast skies, northeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. 26 tonight, chance of snow showers. 37 tomorrow, cloudy. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow night through Friday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back. We're in the booth here with Francine Mears, and we're learning about Fairbanks in the 40s and 50s as she grew up here, some of her recollections. And if you would like to call in, you can do so by calling 458-TALK or 458-8255, and we'll try to get to your call. Francine, when we went to the break, you were talking about the Lend-Lease program where we had Russian aviators here in Fairbanks.
Yes, and that was between 42 and 45. And I remember the planes coming in because my father had access to the base.
Mm-hmm.
And they originated in Great Falls, and that was quite a distance. And the B-26s, the P-40s, they would come in, and if they had the the white star on the side, there was a man who would paint a red star over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out later they wanted to do that in Great Falls, but there was such a rush to get these planes up here.
Right.
And at one time there were 300 Russian pilots staying at Ladd Field.
Right, because it wasn't Fort Wainwright yet.
No, oh no.
Eielson wasn't built.
No,
it was Ladd Field was Air Force, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I was just intrigued with those Russian pilots. with their uniforms, the leather boots and the belts that they wore, and they always had some kind of paraphernalia, on their jackets. And they were so polite and very reserved, though. And when they came into town, you never saw just one. There was always two or three together. But they really liked kids, children.
Mm-hmm.
And they would give candy, if they were in Lavery's grocery store, Donnie Kirshner and my sister, and I think it was either Mary Nordale or Becky Arend, they would make sure that they had me along because I had long yellow braids, and I probably looked like a little Russian, and they always sort of gave me extra. The Hershey bars. And Sterling Kirkpatrick Hill remembers that, too. I found among my mother's things something that my dad had written, and he obviously found it maybe in the barracks. I don't know. But I'll just read it quickly.
Okay.
It was a frigid winter evening in the North Country at Ladd. No working, no flying, no nothing, because the weather is too darn bad.
That sounds like Fairbanks.
Yes. And, of course, a lot of those pilots, they really weren't used to the cold. And originally, Ladd was going to be a testing area, for cold weather. But the Russians, anyway, there they are in town. They would come into town. and they would frequent especially Gordon's store. Well, when they would come to town, they would buy luxury items like nylons, perfume, things like that, lingerie. And Mrs. Waddell, Barbara Millis's mother, Chris Waddell, would call my mother and other ladies as well, but she called my mother and said, "Tilda, the Russians are coming, the Russians are coming." And so apparently someone from the base would call her and say, "The Russian pilots are here, they've landed." And it probably was Marion Acord, Randy Acord's wife. I'm sure.
So was she calling to have extra help in the store?
Oh, no. She was calling because when the Russians came in, they bought everything. All
oh
the
goodness.
Nylons, all the perfume, even a couple sewing machines. I don't know where they got those. But I remember one of the pilots lugging it back on the bus, you know, to go to Lab Field. And so, you know, and then my mother would call Mrs. Langlow, you know, Mrs. George Black, George Black's wife, the ladies in the neighborhood, Mary Bajanich, and by gosh, they all made a beeline for Gordon's or the NC Company.
To buy before the Russians?
Yes, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And I understand, or someone told me later that it was the Russians used it for the black market.
We have a phone call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, Joan.
Hello?
Joan?
Well, we didn't. They didn't pick up.
Yes, I am.
Good morning.
Hi, Joan.
We'll come back to it.
Yep.
So you were talking about getting treats from the Russians, mm-hmm. but you also were pretty good at getting liquid refreshments.
Yes, I know. My dear mother was interviewed by Sharon Bushnell, I believe.
You were a very cute little girl.
And I had a tendency, we lived on Dunkel Street, to crawl under the fence and make a dash for the cottage bar because many of the miners drank there and they knew me and they would buy me Cokes, you know, and that was neat. Several times my mother, you know, just went into a tailspin because I was supposed to be in the backyard and I was gone.
Oh,
and
no,
I,
you were at the bar drinking
at
Coke.
The bar drinking. And I remember my first ride in a police car. It was just wonderful. The first time it happened, she called the police, you know, thinking someone had kidnapped me, as if anyone would. But and it got to the point where she had embroidered something that she could button, you know, on the back of my jacket that said, "Please do not give me food or drink." And I, unfortunately, that went in the flood. You know, I wanted to donate it to the Pioneer Museum, but that was one of the things that, yeah.
So the cottage bar has been around a long time then.
Yes. And it was very nice. And of course, many of the bars were at that time.
So in Fairbanks during those times, children were seen all over in town. They weren't...
Well, yes. And, you know, Fairbanks, it was a population of 3,500 at that mm-hmm. time, you know, give or take a few. And there weren't that many of us because we were Depression babies, you know, mm-hmm. born during the 30s. And birth rate was low. And so we were very, we were treated just in a wonderful way by adults, you know. And many of these miners, they were friends of my parents. And on Sunday, especially in the winter, because they would stay at the Nordale Hotel or the Pioneer Hotel or, and this is a misnomer, the Deluxe Hotel on Noble. And they would drop in for dinner. And so I got to know many of them. And, oh, I'll just tell you this. When we sold the after my father passed away and my mother moved into the condo in El Dorado, my husband and I went through things in the attic, and here was a box that said Francine on it. And we opened it, and it was, you know, dolls, things like that. And there was my little marble bag, little chamois marble bag. And I said, oh, look, Rick, you know. And I opened it up, and some gold nuggets fell out.
Oh, my.
And then it dawned on me, when these fellows, these miners, would come to dinner, they either brought us Whitman chocolates, which was fine, and which I loved, and my sister did, or they would give me a little gold nugget, and I would just put it in my marble bag, because, you know, it really meant nothing to me at the time.
Did you save them after you found them again?
Yes, and that would have been in 78, I guess. I had because Mr. Avakov was gone by that time, mm-hmm. but I had it made into a necklace. You know, I had enough for a necklace.
Oh, nice.
But my husband couldn't believe it, you know. And then you had mentioned, we had talked the other day about Gordon's store, you mm-hmm. know. And Frank Gordon owned it. And at that time, it was even so old to me because the flooring sort of sit, you know, was on a slant, but he was very kind to the ladies on the line, you know, the Fourth Avenue.
The line being the prostitutes.
Yes, well, yes. The ladies of the night.
Yes.
And every Wednesday evening, he would close his store and then open it for them so that they could shop, because. There was sort of that, it wasn't a morality clause, but...
You didn't mix the social circles, exactly. Especially amongst the women.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I had to ask Barb Millis yesterday, because I thought, did I just make this up? But I remember the flower baskets that would hang outside in the summer, just in mm-hmm. June, instead of a red light... They had geraniums in hanging baskets. Yeah. And, of course, you know, that, well, when it was, dark, then it was the red light again.
Well, we're going to have to break.
All right, Joanne.
Okay.
On KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
President Biden this afternoon announcing the sale of an additional 15 million barrels of oil from the strategic stockpile in an effort to lower U.S. gas prices.
Families are hurting. You've heard me say it before, but I get it. I come from a family. If the price of gasoline went up at the gas station, we felt it.
The president says more releases from the petroleum reserve could come if conditions warrant. It currently has about 400 million barrels. Judge Raymond Deary, appointed to review documents seized by the FBI from former President Trump's Florida home, is asking his legal team to back up claims of executive privilege.
During a conference call, Judge Deary apparently told the lawyers, "Where's the beef?" when asking for a better idea of why the documents can't be seen by the DOJ and why they should be considered attorney-client privilege.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz in Washington. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports an Anchorage man is suspected of defrauding dozens of Alaskans out of millions of dollars in a Ponzi-like scheme, according to Alaska's Division of Banking and Securities. On October 14th, the division issued its second interim temporary cease and desist order against Tycoon Trading LLC and Garrett Elder. In a press release, the division said that Elder posed as a registered investment advisor when, in fact, he nor his company were never properly registered as required by state law. We definitely do not see scams like this all the time, Division of Banking and Securities Director Robert Schmidt said. This is not a normal course of events. This is a profoundly large scam that has dramatically and in some cases horrifically impacted many, many Alaskans. Schmidt says investors range in age from 6 to 65 years old. In the temporary cease and desist order, the division is seeking just under $7.5 million in restitution for Elder's investors and an additional civil penalty of $1,770,000.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
This is Pete with another success story of your rescue mission. It's about a man named Doug and his two daughters. Doug lived in a tough neighborhood down south. One day, a chance encounter with a woman holding an infant led to the adoption of the baby in her arms and another one born 2 years later. Like most kids, they played outside, but their neighborhood was filled with persistent gunfire. When a man was gunned down within feet of their house, Doug had enough. He left his possessions, took the girls, and headed north. When he got here, things were pretty tough. He got a dilapidated room he could barely afford, but they were out of the cold. When things got worse, they came to the rescue mission, where they found safety, comfort, and plenty of food. Once they were safe and warm, Doug used our veterans program to get the family on their feet. As of today, the family is housed, the girls are in school, and Doug starts a new job soon. Good things happen to good people at the rescue mission. Please give where you live and donate today at FairbanksRescueMission.org.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need, but they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center, call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com. findoutfree.com.
Don't miss Fairbanks Foodies every Saturday at 5:30 on KFAR Radio with your host, David Pruse, discussing everything food in Fairbanks, from awesome recipes to all of your favorite local restaurants. Brought to you by Bobby's Downtown, Quality Food Sales, Hoodoo Brewery, and the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. Don't miss Fairbanks Foodies and go to the archives page of KFARradio.com to listen to any past episodes. Fairbanks Foodies, Saturdays at 5:30 on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com. And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. We are in the booth here with Francine Mears, and we're talking about some of her recollections growing up in Fairbanks during the 40s and the 50s, which was quite an interesting time. And right before we went to the break, you were talking about Gordon's store, and they opened a special night for the ladies on the line, and that in the summer, so the ladies used red lights to designate when they were open for business.
Yes, their profession.
But in the summer, those lights, it's pretty hard to see those lights at night.
True.
So they had a creative way of making up for that.
Yes, they had hanging baskets with the hanging red geraniums.
Okay.
And after urban renewal came in, and you know that was all down, it took several years for my mother and some of her contemporaries to even think of putting geraniums in a basket. And then Ann Dolney came along, dear Ann.
Ann's Greenhouse. Yes.
And she, you know, did not know that, you know, the past. And she started her business by mm-hmm. using hanging baskets, but in a patriotic way. She had the hanging geraniums, the blue lobelia, and the white petunias, you know, red, white,
you
and blue.
You see those all over town
I
today.
I know.
Yes.
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 But originally, there was about a three, 3-year period where you did not see a hanging basket.
It was a tough sell.
It was a tough sell, yes.
Because of the geraniums?
Well, the red, you know. Yeah. And I think you mentioned to me, Joni, you asked me about Hulda Ford. And most people who are listening today, they're much younger than I am because I am now an octogenarian. They remember Irene Sherman, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But Hulda Ford preceded her.
Hulda was what today we call a bag lady.
Yes. And I really liked her.
We had quite a discussion about her last night.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she originally came from Nome. I mean, the story is that she came from Nome. She had acquired a bit of money and sent, I don't know if the man was her gentleman caller or her husband, but he took the money and ran. I mean, he did come to Fairbanks, and then she came to Fairbanks and had to start from, you know.
Scratch.
Yeah, plan, you know. And she acquired properties along the way. But as time went by, I don't know what happened. She apparently was a very attractive woman. But when I saw her, she had on a long, long black coat that was kind of stained, and she wore a hat with a scarf around the hat tied mm-hmm. under her chin. She had on gloves that were, some of the places for fingers were missing, and scruffy shoes. And she lived above the Avakov's jewelry store. But she had properties all over town, and there were things in these properties. And she usually just boarded them up. When she passed away in 1957, she had this, you know, she always carried bags with her. In one bag was $8,000.
In cash.
In the other bag were all, and she had renters. She mm-hmm. rented to Mac Fenton, the druggist. She never cashed any of the checks. You know, they were just, I thought there was someone there. They were just there. Well, one day I'm walking along, and she knew me by name, and Francie, she said, I have something for you. And so I walked over, and I said, oh, okay, Mrs. Ford. She loved dogs and cats, and she had a basket with her with these kittens. And she said, would you like a kitten? And I said, well, of course. We had a dog at home. And she said, well, pick out a kitten. So I picked out a kitten. And she said, come with me. And we went to one of the houses. And she went in. I stayed outside. She came out with food and this little glass bowl, you know, for the cat. And I took it home. And my mother said, Francine, we have a dog. Blondie does not like cats. You'll have to return the kitten.
Aww.
Well, I know. I was just crushed. So I went back and I found her and I explained. I said, Blondie doesn't like kittens. And she was so kind. She said, oh, I understand, Francie. That's all right. And I said, well, here's the food and the bowl. And she said, oh, you just keep the bowl, which I did. I took it home and I, you know, put it in my bedroom. And years go by and I still have it. And one day, it was in the 70s or early 80s, I guess, Jinx Whitaker came over and she saw the bowl. It was in the china cabinet. And she said, Francie, let me look at that bowl. And I said, oh, Mrs. Ford gave it to me. And it turns out it's Lalique Crystal.
For the cat.
for the cat. But Ronnie Busby told me he actually managed to get into one of her buildings off mm-hmm. of Barnett Street. And he said, Francie, there were all these lamps. And he would have been about 12 or 13. And mm-hmm. then later he said, gosh, they were Tiffany lamps.
Yeah. Yes.
And I don't know what happened to all of her paraphernalia.
Well, you know, when she died, she was one of the wealthiest people in Fairbanks when she died, mm-hmm. and she was a bag lady.
Yes.
And, you know, it was the saddest thing. And we talked about that because her mm-hmm. husband, you know, she was on her own, and there was a stigma associated with that in the back in those early days.
Yes,
and she grew up with that stigma of, or, you know, lived with that stigma of being a dumped woman. Would that be a good way to put it?
I think so. You know, a single woman. Yes, it was difficult. And I mean, Kitty Hensley, of course.
It was another one.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, a little side fact, when my parents first came to Fairbanks in 32, they rented the Kitty Hensley house that first winter.
So they lived there?
Yes, for $25 a month. And my father was here first, of course, and then he sent for my mother and my sister. And he and my mother missed the boat in Seattle and finally made it to, I guess, Seward, missed the train. But the fellow who was driving, I believe it's called a Brill car, and he said, he said, I'll take you up to Fairbanks. And she was so happy. So she and Marianne were in there, and he shared. And she said that was her first example of Alaskan hospitality. He shared his lunch with her, and they made it to Fairbanks. And lo and behold, there was my dad at the station, you know, which is where the News Miner is now, the News Miner building. And she was so stunned. And she said, how did you know we would be here at this time? And he said, well, they wired me that I have two packages that will be arriving. and he said, but I have a wonderful surprise for you. Now, my mother was a city girl. She really was. And my father said, guess what? We have running water.
Oh, well, in Fairbanks in those days, not everybody had that.
But she loved that Kitty Hensley house, and she said, and that's when she got to know the Stocks and the Baumeisters and, you know, Clara Rust and the Bachners, you know, people who lived in the east side of Fairbanks, I mean, the west side of Fairbanks. And she often said that that first Christmas was one of her happiest Christmases.
The one inside the Kitty Hensley house.
In the Kitty Hensley house. And I do have a picture of them in there. And, I really treasure that. Well, then, you know, they wanted their own place, and so they bought property over on the east side and on Dunkel and built the family home.
Is the house on Dunkel Street still there?
Yes, and it has gone through very different changes. After my father passed away and my mom moved to the El Dorado condos, it went through various owners, and one of the last owners was a drug dealer. And I'm driving by one day, and I think, and here, you know, it's all surrounded with the yellow tape, and several of the windows are bashed out. And I was teaching at Monroe at that time, and I remember Joe Stepovich came up and said, Mrs. Mears, your old house became a drug house. Have you seen it? And I said, yes, Joe, I have. Well, eventually, Sean Stack bought it of Glacier Plumbing. And he
another plumber,
and he is renovating it. But one day he came over, and he had, and my father was a tinsmith as well. And here is a tin star set in a, you know, a little case, and he took it off the roof. My father had it on the very top of the roof, and it was the North Star. And Sean said, Francine, would you like this? And I said, heavens, yes, you know. And so I have it. You probably saw it. It's by the fireplace there.
I did.
Yeah. And that.
Yes.
So I kind of treasure that.
Okay. But, so we're going to go ahead and take our final commercial break, and we'll be right back, Fairbanks.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Kawasaki. 4 years ago, I made a commitment that as your senator, I would cut through the partisan gridlock, work hard, and get things done. That's what I've done for you each and every day. I committed to fight for your PFD, and this year I helped deliver the largest dividend in history. I get it. The dividend belongs to the people of Alaska, not the politicians in Juneau, and I'm not going to stop until we protect the PFD for future generations. I pledged to stand up for our military, and this year passed a bill to cut the red tape to help military families find jobs in Alaska. And last year I passed a bill to address suicide, especially for our armed service members. I promised to lower property taxes for Fairbanks families, and this year I passed an amendment to give the city the tools they need to provide property tax relief for Fairbanks homeowners. I'm Scott Kawasaki, and I humbly ask for your vote, because you deserve a senator who works hard and gets the job done.
Paid for by Friends of Scott Kawasaki, 2008 Carr Avenue, Fairbanks, 99709.
Come see one of the most beautiful new buildings in Fairbanks. The grand opening of Fairbanks Urology and the Fairbanks Clinic. In the historic location at the corner of Cushman and Gaffney. Friday, October 21st from 5 to 8 p.m. A stunning building with the latest technology in the industry. Come meet the new staff and enjoy a catered spread of food, drinks courtesy of Golden, store prizes, an artist showcase featuring wildlife photographer Katrina Handler. The grand opening of Fairbanks Urology and the Fairbanks Clinic. Friday, October 21st from 5 to 8 p.m. in their new location, corner of Gaffney and Cushman.
Hello, this is Ward Mertes. More than 20 years of helping Alaskans smeared in automobile accidents and the families of Alaskans killed in car crashes have taught us a few things. After a car crash, do not talk to insurance adjusters. The other guy's insurance adjuster is not looking to help you. The insurance adjuster from your own company is looking for a way to avoid paying your claims. It's pure folly to talk to insurance adjusters after a car crash until you're off pain medications and have spoken to an attorney. The Mertes Law Firm has helped injured Alaskans for more than 20 years. It's who we are. And while we hope you never need us, we're here if you do.
Weather this hour brought to you by Long Building Technologies. Call Long today to find out about a UV filtration and ionization system that will help reduce sick days in your workplace. 561-3044. Or find out more at long.com.
KFAR weather.
Chance for scattered snow showers today, otherwise overcast. High temperatures reach up to 37. Northerly winds around 5 miles per hour. Chance of snow showers again tonight. Lows level off around 26. Overcast. Highs around 37 tomorrow. A dusting of snow today with another inch tomorrow night through Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. We're in the booth here with Francine Mears, and we're talking about some of her childhood recollections of growing up in Fairbanks. And I believe we have do we still have a caller on the line?
Yep.
Oh, they let go. Okay, well, Francine, we took the break. Oh, we do have a caller. Yep. Okay. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi.
Good morning. Hello? You're on KFAR.
Let me turn my radio down.
Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
Phones aren't working.
Oh, well. Okay, hopefully they'll call back. Francine, so you wanted to talk about somebody, a Louie, that had an interesting name.
Yes, yeah, we had mentioned you last evening, you know, the difference, and I hate to use the word characters, you know, because I never thought of Mrs. Ford as a character. And this following, and this other person I'd like to mention, he was a gentleman, and his name was, I never knew his real name, no one really did. Everyone called him B.S. Louie. And, of course, the B stood for bull, and you can figure out the rest. And he loved to play Pan, and he was always...
Pan was what?
It was a card game. And he would be at the Pastime Bar in the lounge there, which is right on the corner of Cushman and by the bridge. And people really liked him. He never had a job, as far as I know, but people would give him money, you know, every once in a while. And apparently my father did, because when B.S. Louie died, he actually left a will. And everyone thought, good heavens, what did he have to leave? But he left his raccoon coat to my father, and of course I have it now.
You still have that?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. Oh my goodness!
And it is heavy. Oh my gosh! It's almost too heavy. But that was Louis's coat, and
he was somebody everyone in town knew.
Oh yes.
Let's try the phones again.
Okay, we'll take a call. Good morning. You're on KFAR.
Hi.
Hello.
This is John Poirier. Can you hear me?
something.
We're having an issue with our phones. Yes. We'll let Mike work on that, and we'll talk some more here. And so I have a question. Now, you attended school. You started out in the public school, and then...
Yes, and then my mother and several of the Catholic ladies wanted a parochial school established.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first Immaculate Conception school was in the basement of the little church.
The Catholic church. Correct,
right, and there were one, two, three, four, the first four grades. And so, you know, I was there and formed, you know, many friendships that stayed with me.
So you were one of the first students
yes,
in the Catholic school.
And in the book, the Fairbanks book that Klaus Nasky put together, there's a picture of all of us standing on the steps where they now have the soup kitchen downstairs. And Sister Joan, and there's Mike Cook and Patty Orsini and Barbara Sellers. Jenny Doheny. I remember all of them, and most of them stayed until, you know, the eighth grade. And at the eighth grade then, there was no Monroe High School, and they built that two years later. And it's interesting.
So 2 years later would be when?
Let's see. Gosh, when was Monroe built? It had to have been in the early 50s or late 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well.
And then did they keep the elementary school at the church, or did they move it at the
Actually,
same time?
Actually, we had moved. But I'm sorry, Joni. We had moved. The school had moved over to these converted barracks where the school is now.
Army surplus,
yes. And Mike Stepovich and Cliff Berglund, they were kind of responsible, I think, for getting that going and set up. Well, what's interesting is I ended up I became a teacher, and I taught for 43 years, began at Lathrop, West Valley, and I ended up at Monroe.
Back so where you started.
Yes, so it was sort of, the circle of life, I guess.
Well, now, okay, so at Monroe, it's like when I think of Monroe, I think of High Pow.
Yes.
And we just had High Pow, and High Pow's been around as long as I can remember. Yeah. And what is High Pow?
Happiness is paying our way.
Okay, so we're going to try the phone caller again, and are we ready? Good morning, you're on KFAR.
Hi, could I talk to Francine?
You sure may. Who is this?
It's Terry, an old colleague, that's all I need to say.
Terry, an old colleague. Well, it isn't Terry Popovich. His mother ran the dance studio on Clay Street.
No, it wasn't. She didn't run a dance studio.
So you wanted to talk to Francine?
Yes, please.
She's on.
Francine, this is Terry. That's all I'll say. You'll know who it is. I just wanted to thank you for being on today and reminding me of many of the conversations you, me, Ron Busby, at all had in the faculty.
Oh, Terry, I know who you are. Oh, my gosh, yes. Oh,
you should have seen her just light up.
Yes. Oh, yes. I know.
Your stories were stellar, especially in reference to the red light district. Ron used to bring vegetables in from North Pole for the ladies there, and they had a special way of hanging their light to let them know just exactly what they wanted. And he entertained us, and you did too, for many years.
Well, Ronnie was a dear friend, and his sister Robin, they were wonderful singers, and I will never forget hearing them. Ron would play the piano, and they would sing, let's see, that song. It was from Royal Wedding.
Yep.
How could you believe me when I said I loved you when you know I've been a liar all my life? And I always liked him to do that.
When he was teaching school, he used to entertain his social studies classes with those same stories. They loved him.
Uh-huh. Well, Terry, nice to hear your voice, and I know who you are now.
Okay. Thank you.
So, I would like to ask you. Oh, do we have another one? Okay, we'll take them. Good morning. You're on KFAR.
Hi, this is John calling from North Pole. Can you hear me this time?
Yes. Oh. Yes. Thank you for calling back and being patient.
Oh, no problem at all. Listen, I've really enjoyed the last hour or so listening to Francine. I'm calling, still want to pick up on the topic of history. I'm calling from North Pole and just trying to, we're part of Fairbanks. We're part of the Fairbanks borough.
Oh, yes.
But we happen to have a very nice little art gallery in North Pole that's focused, and its whole purpose for existence is to preserve the history of the building, and that's the Grange Hall in North Pole.
I've been in there, yes.
I go back as far as Francine started her discussion with, but the gallery in the Grange Hall has been in North Pole over 50 years now, and we've turned it into an art gallery, and it focuses on history. Last May through the summer, we had a wonderful show featuring drawings by Ray Bunnell. It just covered a vast bunch of history.
Did you have a question for Francine?
For Francine, I'd like to get a chance to talk to her and see if we could maybe scheme up another show, a broader show, just help putting together some events and things and talking. Maybe we could arrange a show. We'd love to do something at the Grange Gallery related to history and get somebody like Francine maybe to feature us and help us with gathering some art related to the history of Fairbanks.
Well, perhaps you can get with her after the show today.
We'd love to do that.
Okay. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
So, Francine, I wanted to, before we close, and at the very end, I'm going to read something for you. But so growing up in Fairbanks, you know, your mother was from Germany.
Well, she was actually half French.
Everyone in town knew your mother.
Oh, I know.
Everybody did. Mm-hmm. You know, she was pretty legendary in town. And, you know, do you have any special memories of her?
She was a wonderful mother. Mm-hmm. And really the friends that they had, you know, Mrs. Nigro and Mrs. Baumeister, Mrs. Stock, they were all wonderful role models, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And Alfred Baumeister, is that what you're going to read, Joni?
Yes.
Are you going to do it now?
I'm going, in just a second, I'm going to do it. Yeah, I should start reading now. We'll close with this. This is something that was written by Dr. Alfred Baumeister about your mother.
Yes.
And this really is wonderful. It says, the death of Mary Stock and my mother brought back memories of our shared childhood, the cold, dark winter days, the summers of perpetual light, the bonds between our family. Our parents worked so hard but complained so little. They carved wonderful lives for all of us. Francie, it was unique and experienced to be forever treasured and shared with our children when I think of your dear mother with her lust for life and her deep love for us all, her gift of confidence in us. Sometimes I think we never properly express our understanding and gratitude. All our mothers were remarkable pioneer women, and we were so fortunate to be their children. That is very nice.
Thank you,
the president is not going to shy away from delivering for the American people. He's not going to shy away from a record that you all have seen for the past 20 months.
Spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre, amid continued criticism from Republicans on the economy and crime and low poll numbers for the president, who keeps telling voters his plans are working, including